Steve, let me ask you about the iPhone and the Zune, if I may. The Zune was getting some traction, then Steve Jobs goes to Macworld and he pulls out this iPhone. I mean, how do you compete with that, with the Zune?
Well, let's take phones first. Okay. Right now, we're selling millions and millions and millions of phones a year. Apple is selling zero phones a year. In 6 months, they'll have the most expensive phone by far ever in the marketplace. And let's see. You know, let's see how the competition goes.
Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-plus Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfront Elijah. Joining me today, with his love of the F-word and his backward Kangol's hats, some people call him the British Samuel L. Jackson. Leander Caney is here. Also joining us, he's the lead singer of Buster and the Mountain Men, and I think they're one of the hottest bands of today. Joining us live, Buster Hine is here.
Hey,
Buster,
man.
Listen to that glorious lead vocal voice you have.
I just play bass.
Are you the bass player?
Yeah, I just
play bass. Hard to tell because all the guys have beards.
Yeah, beards are required.
And they all wear flannel shirts, so I thought you were the lead singer. That wasn't you?
No, I'm just standing there at the back, strumming it.
Dude, you're such a good bass player, though.
Thanks.
Yeah. What a great week it's been for Apple News. Not.
Come on, that was some big stuff.
Was there like what?
Well,
like
the earnings announcement.
There were, yeah.
Which I've been waiting 3 months for.
That earnings announcement was incredibly snooze-tastic, Leander.
Well,
did it actually excite you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there was, you know, it was interesting to see the reaction to it.
Right, how fastly Apple's stock plunged right after.
Right.
That was amazing.
I feel like that's what happens every single time.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, and then Paul Icahn, you know, goes and buys another quadrillion shares.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's so undervalued, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think it is still undervalued, and I mean, that's the good thing for him, right? He has so much money that when it does drop in price, he just goes in and buys a bunch of shares, and he's going long on it anyway. So eventually, I think Apple stock's going to go back up. He obviously seems
to think so. Oh, of course it is, yeah. Plus, yeah. it always drops every single earnings announcement.
Yeah.
And the entire stock market is down right now, too. So he's going to make so much money. He's going to make billions. In any case, it is a slow news week, but that's okay because when it's slow, it allows us to do some things that we don't ordinarily get a chance to do. So this episode, we're going to be talking about some of the week's best news, some of the best Apple stories as we do on this show. But then if you stay tuned, we're going to do a Cultcast Q&A. This is where we pull our very attractive, very intelligent audience to give us questions or topics to talk about. We got some good ones from our Facebook page. If you want to ever submit some, our Facebook page is usually where we do that. That's facebook.com/TheCultCast. And then if you stick around to the very end, we're going to do an all new What We're Into, where we'll talk about things that we're currently really, really loving, or whatever is just on our desk, in Leander's case, and closest to us at the time.
But actually, I was going to mention that. I do have something to talk about.
You have something good to talk about?
On the desk, yeah.
It's on the desk. Okay, it's prepared. It's on the desk. This is actually one of my favorite segments because we get to talk about stuff that may not have anything to do with Apple. And believe it or not, we all actually like stuff that isn't in the Apple sphere, occasionally. So we'll do that at the very end of the show. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Before we jump into all the rigmarole, I want to say thank you to Linda for supporting this episode. Linda is like the Spotify of learning. You like that, Leander?
I did, yeah.
That's lynda.com/cultcast, by the way.
Streaming learning on demand, right?
It's streaming learning on demand, exactly. And they have over 3,000 expert-taught video courses that you can choose from, stream straight to your computer. They have apps on virtually any device, so you can watch them from your mobile device, your iPad, your Android device, your Windows device. It's the first place I go when I want to learn something new. And you can learn all you want for free for 10 days at lynda.com/cultcast. That's lynda.com/cultcast to get started on your free 10-day trial. Also, I want to thank HipChat for supporting this episode. We've all used HipChat, and that's because HipChat is the team communication app that helps teams work together more effectively. They help you get the information you need faster than email, and it's just the way to go if you're tired of being trapped in your inbox every day, if you're spending too much time on email, if you're getting dragged into meetings where nothing ever gets done, HipChat is the way to make it through your day without wasting so much time. So, Leander, why don't we talk about some of the things that make HipChat so much better than using email? Because email sucks, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's horrible. And, you know, I mean, just today, one of the guys that we've been working with has been emailing me for about a month. Mm-hmm. And because the messages are threaded, I kind of saw that he'd been sending, you know, I saw that he'd sent an email. And I was like, okay, I'll take, you know, I can't look at that right now. I'll look at it later. Mm-hmm. Because it's threaded, you know, you don't see that he'd been actually kind of frantically emailing me like four or five times, because each of those emails was hidden behind a thread. Mm-hmm. So it was only yesterday when I kind of opened it up and I saw that he'd been trying to get my attention.
Everything's on fire, Leander. I need you now.
I know. So I told, I apologized to the poor guy and I said, look, you know, I mean, if you need to get hold of me, I mean, just, you know, message me in HipChat. So, yeah. He did, and there it is. You know, I saw it. I got an alert on my mobile phone this morning. So I went and, you know, and then we had a real-time conversation. So, you know, like he'd been trying to get my attention for more than a month through email, you know, and hadn't been able to. And then, like, immediately, you know, he was able to do it through the messaging system. So, yeah. And of course, and I dealt with it, like, in a second, right?
Well, that's the great thing about, like, the chat room. The chat room kind of structure of HipChat is that everything's immediate. There's no, right. I send you an email, I wait for you to read it, and then you get back to me. It's like, boom, immediately I can tag you, and so you know that I need your help ASAP, and if we need to share files, we can do that immediately, plus all that stuff is there later for you to reference. And one of the things that I like that we do is we set up that additional chat room for the Cultcast, so we don't have to deal with all the other plebs out there trying to get their hands on all our Cultcast info. And we can just keep it just the three amigos.
Right.
And so we can just say whatever we want without fear of being judged. And so it kind of, it's really fun because it's kind of like the chat rooms in the 90s where you can set up your own chat room and like have topical chat rooms where only people that want to be in those chat rooms, you know, can go, and everyone doesn't have to be bothered by your conversation. Plus, HipChat supports up to 75 different file types. You can share files really easily. They let you do desktop screen sharing, video chat. It's the way modern teams communicate. This is the way we work. Right now, HipChat is offering all listeners 90 days of HipChat Plus for free. Plus, you can get premium features like unlimited storage, unlimited message history, and guaranteed support free for the first 90 days. Get started using HipChat today. Visit HipChat.com/Cult of Mac. That's HipChat.com/Cult of Mac. Thanks to HipChat for supporting this episode. Alrighty, duders. So last episode, we had a discussion about the possibility of Apple not bringing back their back-to-school promo. Well, they did, just to spite me. Tim Cook listens to the show. We all know that. And he's a real jokester, that Tim Cook. And when he heard that I said I thought Apple may not be bringing it back, he, of course, pushed on the marketing team. And they announced that they are going to be giving away some free crap if you're a student when you buy some Apple products. This deal just keeps getting worse and worse, doesn't it?
What?
Keeps getting worse and worse.
Isn't this, I think this is a better deal than last year's deal. Free headphones? Beats headphones?
They're Beats headphones, though, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I do agree with you. I'll stop being so dramatic. it's certainly a better deal than a freaking gift card, isn't it?
Right, yeah. $200 headphones aren't bad. You could always sell them, too.
Well, there you go. You could sell them to some poor chump who thinks Beats makes nice headphones.
I listened to some the other day. I thought they were pretty good.
They're actually not bad. They're not bad. They just are notoriously overpriced for what you get. I mean, do you guys remember that story that said the price of Beats headphones is like to manufacture is like 75 cents?
Well, it wasn't that low.
$30 or something. Yeah.
Yeah, but weren't they actually breaking apart a pair of ripoffs and knockoff ones? Is that the one?
Oh, were they? I don't think so. I think they were actually opening Beats headphones.
Well, the most recent, they did a teardown of some Beats headphones. It's like, you know, look at this, and they were saying that this thing's full of metal to make them feel heavy and
really?
Yeah, more better quality. But then it turns out they were actually breaking down a pair of knockoffs, not a real pair.
Oh.
Okay. Awesome. That's funny because instead of putting in like quality parts, they just fill it with like lead, landfill trash.
Well, you know, car manufacturers have been doing that forever, right?
Do they do that?
Well, so, you know, I mean, they use a, well, maybe not.
Like landfill trash. We need to make this car heavier, Jack.
Yeah.
Trash.
It's, yeah, that might have been a bit of misinformation.
That's okay. Most of the things I say on this show are more than that in exaggeration terms. So Apple has launched their back to school program. The deal runs through September 18th. And as Buster mentioned, instead of gift cards, now you're getting your choice of some Beats headphones. You can get the Solo 2 on-ear headphones, which I guess sell for $199. You can get those for free. Or you can get the Beats Solo 2 wireless on-ear headphones for $100. Those are normally $300. So you get $199.95 off your purchase. You're right. This is not a bad deal, Buster. But I want a new iPod Touch.
Yeah, so sell that it on probably eBay. Would have been nice too, yeah.
Not that I actually want an iPod Touch. Maybe that's why they don't give those away anymore, because everyone has iPhones.
Yeah, I would take an iPod Touch if they wanted to give me one, though.
I would take one of those too.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take the headphones as well.
I mean, I'll take anything for free that they'll give me.
Yeah.
I mean, if I can get it for free and sell it on eBay and make a couple $100 off my purchase, that's a pretty good deal. Total aside here, but speaking of everyone has iPhones, I thought this was kind of a crazy factoid. Benedict Evans, he is a VC, and on Twitter, he recently said iOS unit sales are now matching the sales of PCs. Isn't that absolutely astounding?
Yeah.
So well,
the whole PC market.
Well, the whole PC market, yeah. But still, I mean,
I know, it's mental.
Now they're selling as many iOS devices as they are selling PCs every year.
Right, and that's from pieces from a dozen or more different companies.
Oh, at least a dozen or more. I wonder how many manufacturers there actually are. We know we have the ones in this country. I wonder if there are ones that we don't even know about in other countries that make stuff for those markets. Anyway, okay, let's talk a little bit about the financial call, Buster.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I didn't really find this to be all that engaging, but Tim Cook did reveal some little factoids about the Apple Watch that I found to be somewhat titillating.
Right. Yeah.
Sure.
He did say that they beat Apple's expectations, their own internal expectations. But I think the most interesting thing he revealed about Apple Watch was that the sales didn't spike in April and then go down a cliff like some people were claiming. He said they actually had like most of like the majority of their sales towards the end of the quarter in June. So yeah, it's actually doing really well.
Right, that's pretty telling, isn't it? Because all the early adopters, you know, that's what people were thinking, right? All the early adopters bought them in April, and then the sales would decline. But if they actually grew, that's a good sign, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there were a lot of reports, we didn't really talk about any of them in the last several weeks, that said the Apple Watch was a huge flub, no one was buying it anymore, and the sales spiked initially, and then everyone just pretty much stopped buying the Apple Watch. But it turns out, I mean, at least according to Tim Cook, and I don't think Tim Cook would lie to us. I trust Tim Cook.
Yeah. Well, they were based on those surveys, weren't they? And, you know, none of them had really good methodology.
Yeah, there was like one from Slice where they accessed people's email receipts to determine current sales.
Well, didn't one of them also poll people who only shop at Best Buy and stores like Best Buy? And of course, that's not where most of the sales are coming from. In fact, most of the sales are coming on, you know, online from Apple Store. How could you possibly know how many they're selling? Unless you're like Ming-Chi Kuo and you actually have references, you know?
Well, they've done, in the past, I mean, they've done surveys, like they do a survey on the ground, don't they? Like park some people outside a bunch of different Apple stores and ask them as they're coming out, you know, what did you buy? And try to get some real data, like, you know, some real hard data like that. I think they're all of the surveys so far have been using these kind of weird proxies.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I think you're right.
That, you know, that weren't really, and of course, you know, I mean, like Apple, it's funny, but I don't know why although, you know, Tim Cook has been, they are still being a bit cagey.
Yeah.
They are. Like, yeah.
And that's in like, because, you know, in the past, Apple has always crowed about its successes. you know, like with iTunes sales, when they hit, you know, like the first billion sales or whatever of songs on iTunes, you know, they always release those numbers, and they often would release numbers with the iPhone, because I mean they were selling gigantic numbers. Remember after every iPhone launch, it would be like, oh my God, we sold like 1 million in the first weekend.
Yeah.
And then the iPhone 3GS, it was like, we sold 4 million in the first weekend. So they weren't shy about sharing good numbers. So this does, they definitely, you know, they're definitely not being, the numbers aren't huge. So.
Well, this is the interesting thing. I thought the same thing, exactly what you said. I was like, if they had really sold an amount to be proud of, they would have talked about the amount, I would think. But then Tim Cook or somebody on the call said that Apple Watches sold in the first 9 weeks, or the amount of Apple Watches sold in the first 9 weeks, was greater than the number of iPhones or iPads sold in the same period after they launched. Yeah. I find that to be truly, I'm not saying I don't believe it, but I find it to be unbelievable.
Well, you know, the one thing they might do though is that, you know, back in the early days of the iPhone, like if they sold 1 million over a weekend, that's at that time seemed like a big number.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But now they're selling such phenomenal numbers of the iPhone, and the iPad. You know, mm-hmm. that anything that, you know, if they say they sold 1 million in a weekend,
people would be like, "That's it?
Is that it?
Yeah,
that's hardly anything."
So you're saying it's good, but it's not good for them.
Well, you know, it's weird because, you know, Apple is in such a different place than it used to be. And so, you know, this is why the stock dropped, wasn't it? I mean, even though the profits are up 30% or revenues are up 30% and they're selling gigantic numbers. I mean, by any other company, you know, this quarter that they just, you know, talked about the results for, you know, for any other company is phenomenal. But the expectations are so high for Apple that it's a disappointment. It's crazy. Even though revenue went up 30% and they're selling boatloads of iPhones.
And still their stock price plummeted.
And it still goes down, yeah. Although, you know, that's a lot to do, I think, with speculation and the way the stock market works, you know, because people are selling, they're taking a profit. So,
oh, yeah, good point, huh? Because they've been selling before they actually make the announcement.
So all the trading short. Happens yeah, right. Before the announcement. And it's always like, what do they say? You know, like buy on the news. Sell on the news.
Or buy on the rumor, sell on the news.
Right.
Something along those lines. You can tell we're not day traders. But you're right. I very rarely do I see their stock price actually go up after an announcement, unless they just come out and they absolutely sold like way more than Wall Street was expecting. And it's funny, I always wonder how Wall Street even gets their numbers. They're all just making this stuff up as they go. How would they possibly know what Apple's going to do?
Yeah, well, you know, it has a lot to do with, you know, perception. Math. Doesn't it? Yeah, and they were talking about the whisper number,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And all, you know, they're making all these estimates that the analysts based upon, you know, whatever, and they have a number in their minds that they want to see Apple sell, and it fell like, I don't know, a little bit short of that, right? Is that right?
Yeah,
just barely. I think they wanted 50 million iPhones sold, and Apple sold 49 or something.
They're doomed.
No, seriously, it was just like Apple barely beat its expectations and just didn't get to Wall Street's expectations. So, yeah, it was the end of the world.
Well, speaking of claims that seem hard to believe, we also got a report this week from analyst Ben Bajaran, and he put out some. I'm sorry?
Baharin,
thank you. Thank you. It's a Leander so Kahane. On air. I still hear people say Leander Kahane, and I love it. It's like you're Hawaiian or something.
it's much more exotic than regular Kahane.
Ben Baharin.
That's why I don't correct him.
you actually like it? You're hoping like it catches on?
Yeah.
I just started introducing you like that on this show, Leander Kahane. Ben Baharin. I should be more sensitive to these things with my name. I should strive to pronounce people's names Airfond. Correctly. Although I'm sure I'm more guilty than most in butchering names. He put out a new report suggesting that the Apple Watch has a massive 97% satisfaction rate among early adopters. Initial question, would you consider yourself among the 95% of people who are satisfied with the Apple Watch?
No.
Leander?
Yes.
You are? Okay.
I say yeah. Because I mean, if you look at the way he asked the question, you know, like on a scale of 1 to 4, mm-hmm. you know, how satisfied with the Apple Watch. And it's like extremely satisfied, somewhat dissatisfied, extremely dissatisfied. And, you know, I was thinking like, well, where would I put myself? Well, I'm not extremely dissatisfied. I'm not even like partly dissatisfied. I'm somewhat satisfied with it. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect, but yeah, I'm happy with it. And I wear it every day.
Yeah, I wear mine every day too. That's kind of how I feel. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Although so when people ask me what it does, I'm like, people always ask me, what does it do? Right. And I never really know what to tell them besides the fact that I think it's a great watch, at which point they always snicker. It's an Apple watch. If it's not a great watch, what is it going to be, right? I mean, at the very least, it has to be a great watch, which I think it is. But other than that, what do you guys tell people when they ask you that question?
Well, you know, I tell them I pay with stuff and I take phone calls and I look at text messages and I look at Twitter and I look at my calendar and I use it for exercise and, you know, I can see all my, how often I stand up or whatnot, good. You know.
I actually might steal that. That's a lot of stuff that I do too.
But then they say, so should I get one? And you go, that's when I start humming and hurrying.
Yeah, I agree. It's not a device for everyone, but I do use it for all that stuff too, especially now that I actually have some grocery stores that accept Apple Pay. I use my Apple Watch to pay for stuff all the time, and it's always magical. I love it. I mean, who knew that getting your wallet out of your pocket was such a massive inconvenience?
I still feel really embarrassed about paying with a watch.
Oh, so you're self-conscious about it?
Yeah, because they're always staring at you like...
Yeah, and people kind of like freak out about it.
Yeah.
So it draws a scene.
So it gives you unwanted attention.
Right? Yeah.
See, I relish that. I'm like, hey, look what I can do. Oh, what is that? Is that your wallet that you're getting out to pay? Idiot.
Seattle's different, isn't it? Seattle's much more, you know.
Elitist.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about? You live in San Francisco.
Yeah. I know, and it's full of, well, it is, you know, depending on. Yeah, and people hate, you know, techies here.
Do they really? I thought that was the Mecca. Technology. I thought people would be like, oh my gosh, is that the Apple Watch? You are the coolest, sir.
No, I think it just heightens the tech divide. I think it just, you know, brings it, it makes it really obvious. You might as well like rub it in their face. Look at me, I've got an Apple Watch. I got a tech job. I'm a techie, you scumbag.
And the clerk's like, I know, Mr. Keeney, you come in here every week and you tell me that. Would you please just pay for your groceries and leave?
And leave, yeah. So even if they do take the Apple Watch, I dig in my pocket for some nasty old, you know, dollar bills. The dirty,
the old bed. Kind of paying, disgusting.
Right. Yeah.
So Leander, tell me about this divide. I'm curious to hear. So, are there people in San Francisco who are super hippie, not into technology, and really kind of put off by it?
Yeah, absolutely. But they're increasingly being pushed out.
So they're somewhat embittered that people who are into technology, maybe the people who are developers making great money, are making everything more expensive and making them get pushed out.
I think that is, yeah, very definitely true. You know, like, of course, it's not click. It's, you know, there's always a lot of, you know, people, I think, there's always been a big artist community here, right? And there's always been a big community of people, creative people, who come to a town like San Francisco, a big city, and they want to have a career in the arts. And so, you know, you got to put food on the table. So you get a job, you know, waiting tables or working as a barista. And this town was always super, you know, has thrived on people like that. That's exactly how I came to this town. And, you know, throughout the decades, millions of others. And it's made what made this town so vibrant and so exciting and so creative, you know. And it's had waves and waves of creativity, not just in technology, but in music and culture. Look at the 60s, the hippies. You know, it was like, it's always been a vibrantly cultural place and a very, very important part of America's culture.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's so much money now in town that it's impossible to find anywhere to rent. It's impossible to find anywhere to live. And it's always been a problem, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But now it really is like, you know, it's at the point where it's like Vail in Colorado, where it's impossible to find somewhere to rent, even if you've got gobs of money.
Like Al Caney does, so he's speaking from experience there.
We've been here for years, so we didn't have to. We had to compete at the time, like in the late '90s.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, now it looks like, you know, the house that we bought at the time was super expensive and at the very, very edge of what we could afford, and it's only because you know, I got help from my brothers. My dad died and left us all some money, but we all pulled it together to come up for. They lent me their share of the money that we got from my dad.
Jeez, nice so, brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. And but you know, we could have never done it. I mean, we had to scrape together to get it together. And you know, that was, and then it was like a falling down crack house. that had actually been locked up by the sheriff.
The rats running, scurrying around the floor.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. It was completely overrun by rats, and we had to. We had a big like, cleaning out party. Mm-hmm. We had to move in immediately, and we were all living in one room. And I got all my friends and everybody I knew in San Francisco. Like there was 30 or 40 people all came around, and we ripped everything out that first day, just to get one room livable. And then it was slowly me and my brother and a bunch of our friends. I know a bunch of people in construction. We fix up one room at a time.
Was it like any crack that you find, you can keep?
Well, there were so many crack pipes in the backyard that they were you literally crunch underfoot.
Oh my gosh! Hypodermic needles. Dad, look what I found. He's got like a needle in his hand.
Yeah, luckily none of those. Just crack pipes.
It's unbelievable. I know we're on a huge tangent here, but it's truly amazing how much money technology brings in. I mean, in Seattle where I live, if people don't live in a place where technology is really kind of like ubiquitous and everywhere. I mean, the technology industry, not just like iPads and computers and stuff. The people that work in technology make so much money. I always used to tell people, like, if you are a monkey working at a place like Microsoft, you're going to make $60,000 a year, easy. You could be even not very good at your job and make great money. But the guys who are really good, they're unbelievably well paid. It's like amazing. These guys are paid better than doctors, paid better than lawyers.
Right.
And isn't it always fun to see like some like 22-year-old who just left college and he has like a programming background and he's driving around like a brand new BMW or something.
Absolutely. And there are thousands of them here. Thousands.
Right. And I can see why that would rub some people the wrong way, especially if you're like an artist living in a crack house.
It's not possible anymore. You know, you just cannot do it in this town.
Yeah. Yeah. And Seattle's become the same way. And I have some friends that live in Vancouver, Canada, and they were renting a place. And it was very similar to the place you're describing, maybe not with so many crack pipes, but it was really run down. And the landlord had broken up into three different livable spaces. And it was a really old house, probably built in the 20s. And I was asking them, are you guys planning on buying a house in this area anytime soon? Because they've been there for a while. And they're like, this place is $1 million. And I could not believe it because it was such a run down, dilapidated jalopy. I didn't tell them any of that, of course. Yeah. I was like, oh, great. I love this place. No. Anyway, let's get back to Apple. There were some other parts of the story I wanted to run by you guys. So that 97% satisfaction rate for early adopters among Apple Watch people is almost as high as the current iPhone 6, which is sitting at 99%. I find that hard to believe. But what I find crazy about that 97% is it's higher than the original iPhone at 92% and the original iPad, which is at 91%. And this just kind of blew my mind because, Leon, do you remember how much hype was around the original iPhone?
Yeah, but you know, when you mentioned that, I also remember there was a lot of skepticism too.
Was it really? I don't remember the skepticism, polarized. I guess. Yeah, I just remember everyone being super excited.
Oh yeah, but there was a lot of people who hated on it too.
Oh yeah, like I mean, Ballmer laughed at it. Oh, tons of
Ballmer. That's right, infamously laughed at it. Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, and there was a lot of people who accepted to Ballmer's point of view. They agreed with him. There was a lot of agreement with that.
Was you think that was actually a popular consensus? Because I don't remember it being popular.
Yeah, because definitely. $200-$300 smartphones at that time. Everybody had $100 flip phone max. So I think the Apple or the iPhone, it just looked, I don't know, kind of just like a crazy tech toy that only really maybe guys would want.
And remember when they first put it on sale too, it didn't even have a subsidy.
Right. You
had to buy it outright.
I had to buy mine for like $600 and I was like, God, this phone better be awesome.
Well, what did you think, Buster, when you got it? You paid $600 for it.
Dude, I loved it. I mean, I thought it was, it's just amazing to have the internet in your pocket, really. And I think that was the biggest thing, the internet in your pocket. And also, like, there weren't any apps, but also the music was cool and being able to, like, watch movies on it, too. And so I think I like the original iPhone more than I like the original Apple Watch, but it can still win me over.
I mean, the iPhone to me seems like a revolutionary product, and the Apple Watch is like an evolutionary product. And yeah, so I'm surprised to hear people are more satisfied with it than with the iPhone.
Tracy was one of the skeptics. She hated the iPhone. She could not stand it. She thought I was a big show off. She thought it was really stupid that I had to have the internet. Why do you need the internet? You know, when you're out and about, you've got it on a computer. You could use your laptop.
Uh-huh.
And she whenever she had to use it, sometimes, you know, like I would hand it to her. I'd be driving in the car, so I'd hand it to her. You know, can you just, like, you know, I don't know. We were going on a road trip one time, and we were trying to book something, I think, and she had to, like, hit some links, or maybe pull up a map or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I can remember her reaction was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You spent so much money on this. It's a dumb toy. You know, why didn't you bring your laptop? You're an idiot.
Wow, she really just kept going on and on.
Right. It was. It was like that. It was totally like that. It was like, and it was, you know, like, and I was trying to, I remember trying to convince her, you know, come on, honey, be reasonable. It's the internet in your pocket. You know, you can play videos. And she was like completely and utterly, you know, not in it at all.
It's a revolutionary new internet communication device.
Right.
You're like literally giving her verbatim power or keynote points from the keynote itself.
Yeah, but don't you remember what phones used to look like? But because she was a big fan of the, she had a Motorola Razr, right?
Which that's at the what time, everyone had. Everyone had that phone before the iPhone.
It was super small. Remember how long it, you know, you charged it once a week.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And it made phone calls. It was really easy to make a phone call on that thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what it did. It made phone calls. There's nothing else you could do with it.
And I don't think she couldn't make a phone call on the phone, right?
There was definitely like a learning curve there.
Yeah, you know, and because you had to change the screen at the bottom, right? So you had to go to a dialer rather than dialing by name or something. I don't remember. And it wasn't odd how to do it. And she got flustered and hated it.
One last piece of this story that I wanted to mention that I thought rang very true. This guy who wrote the report said, people familiar with technology are critical of Apple Watch, but teachers, firefighters, insurance agents, and those not in the tech industry couldn't stop raving about the Apple Watch and how much they loved it. This is a trend that he recognized. So people like developers had a lot of complaints, but people who were just, for lack of a better word, normal people who aren't seriously into technology really loved the Apple Watch. Don't you guys think this is really true? Aren't we just kind of jaded? Even though we don't necessarily know that we are, we just have really high expectations.
Yeah.
Especially Leander.
Oh.
He's the choosiest of us all.
Especially when it comes to like movies. Like that.
Oh, dude. Yeah. We can't even bring up movies. Actually, Leander, I take that back. I think out of all three of us, you are actually the most easygoing when it comes to new technology. I feel like maybe I'm more critical than you are, because your new Mac, like some of the problems, or your new MacBook, some of the new problems that I've heard people complain about, you totally disregarded all those. You didn't care at all. You thought it was a great machine.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because I think like I valued I know there's a lot of compromises, but I valued the things that I think they chose to emphasize, which is like, you know, the size, the battery life, how light it is, and those are the things all that are really important to me. And I know there's going to be compromises. And so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, I have to retrain myself to learn to them.
Apple's right, I'm wrong.
Right.
What Apple preaches, we must adopt. So I know. That's the right mentality to have.
Exactly. I was holding it wrong, like Steve said.
That's exactly right. I was holding it wrong. You're right, Steve. Thank you for correcting me. I will modify my lifestyle to fit your device, right. And let's all move on. That's Leander's philosy.
I've got some Velcro, and I've taped my new MacBook to my legs so that it doesn't bounce around when I try to type on it.
There you go. For all the whiners out there, you need to take Leander's advice and adopt your legs with Velcro, whatever you need to do to make your device work for you.
And now I've got like 40 pounds of cables and adapters. Plug up stuff.
That's exactly what drove me crazy about that new MacBook. All right, before we get into our Cultcast Q&A, I want to say thank you to Linda for supporting this episode. Lynda.com. Oh my goodness. If you need to learn specific software like Photoshop or entire topics like marketing, lynda.com/cultcast is the place you want to go. It's the first place I go whenever I want to learn anything new. Linda also has curated playlists to help you learn workflows and the apps within them. For example, you can learn how to mix and master audio in Pro Tools, develop Mac apps for OS X, manage a database with SQL. And when you're going through these courses, the playlist will actually show you sometimes different applications that you'll need for all these different workflows. You're not just working within one topic like marketing or within one app like Photoshop. You'll actually learn the series of apps that you need from an entire array of tools that you might need to learn. A wonderful way to improve your skill set. And Lynda has apps that stream to virtually any device. So they have an app for iOS, they have an app for Windows, they have an app for Android. Of course, you can watch on the web. So you can learn wherever you are on any device that you have. And the streaming picks up right where you left off. So if you started on your computer in one of their courses and then you're on a bus, you can watch it on your iPhone and you can pick up right from where you left off. Continuing education is so important, and I truly believe that. You always need to be improving your skill sets. You always need to be learning new things. You got to work out your brain. You can't just work out your buns and your chest muscles, Buster. You also have to work out your mind so that you have both be sexy. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Buster agrees. That's why I love Lynda.com. I think you will, too. Check it out at Lynda.com/cultcast for a free 10-day trial. You can learn all you want for free for 10 days. That's lynda.com/cultcast. I want to thank Lynda for supporting this episode. I love Lynda. I think you will too. All righty, let's do some cultcast Q&A. I love this. Thank you to everyone who contributed questions on facebook.com/thecultcast. Let's start with an easy one. This comes from Curtis Bland.
What up,
his Curtis? Last name might be Bland, but his question certainly isn't. Sorry, Curtis. He's probably been hearing that joke for his entire life.
Yeah, I apologize. Right. Okay.
Okay, Curtis asks, should we be getting our hopes up for an Apple TV refresh before the end of the year? Buster, what do you think?
God, never, man.
It's you don't think so?
I think it will. I hope it will, but I just wouldn't count on it anymore, to be honest. It's just been so long.
Yeah.
5 years.
Yeah, I'm counting on it. You heard it here first, folks. It's happening. In September, October, I'm putting it out there. Total guess. No sources have keyed me in. That's just my guess.
I mean, from rumors, I think they were saying like the last hurdle was getting like local TV channels on board, and they've made some big improvements with that by letting like the affiliates like CBS and Fox negotiate instead of Apple having to negotiate with everyone. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it sounds like the negotiations are coming along. But we've been saying that for like 2 years, I feel like.
Yeah, we have. And, you know, the nice thing is if I'm wrong about this September or October, I'll just, like, people will forget in like 6 months. Yeah. And then next September or October, 2016, 2017, I'll just say it again. And eventually I'll be right. Okay. Dan Miller asks, Notification Center in Today View, do you guys use it on your Mac or iOS device? Have you ever even tweeted or posted to Facebook using it?
No.
Me either. Leander, do you ever use it?
No.
Well, at least you had to think about it.
Yeah, I know what he means, because I've actually looked at it, but I don't use it.
Yeah. And there's so many great tools too. So you know, you can tweet from Notification Center. You can set up Facebook posts from Notification Center, but there's so many great tools to do that anyway. Why would you do it from Notification Center? Plus, I don't really find Notification Center to be one of those features that I use just period. The notifications that I get on my Mac, I don't really find to be that useful. Do you guys?
No, I hate them.
Yeah, I don't really like them either. And it's like, yes, I know I have a new email. I don't need to know that from my notification.
Yeah. You know what people hate?
What?
Notifications for Cult of Mac.
Really?
We just set it up. We've been playing with it for a couple of weeks. We had a load of glitches. Like it was, you know, it's harder to do than it looks. And the service that we were using had a bunch of glitches. And so now it's been working the way it should for the last week. So now we get all this hate mail from people
who are just super pissed off.
Yeah, and they don't like it. And I guess, you know, I don't know what's going on. I guess they, you know, they sign up for it and they don't really, you know, and then when they get them, they start complaining about it.
Well, it's not that much.
It's like two or three a day.
Oh, that can be a lot depending on the person.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah, I see a lot of websites try to get me to sign up for those. And for those that don't know what we're talking about, you can sign up for notifications in Safari, so it will ping you. when a website has like an update or something, and you guys can control the frequency, right, Leander? Of how
And we're very conservative, so we only do it for top stories. Like, you know, we don't do it for all the stories, because then it would be like, you know, 30 notifications a day.
Yeah, that'd be a lot.
So it's just for the top stories. So it's just for the, you know, the stuff that we think, you know, people should see. And it's, and like I said, it's like two or three a day.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easy to unsubscribe from those if they end up not liking them. I think they're delightful. I wish you would send out more, Leander. I want 30 a day. Can you increase the frequency just for me?
Okay.
Do you have that fine-tune control?
No, we don't. We can't do that. But I think you can do that.
And, wonderful.
We might be able to set that up.
Please, yeah, that
so,
would be
so
much
you can see everything. Or,
yeah, I want to see as much as possible. Jim Fantasia. Oh, I like that last name. It reminds me of Fantasia. It's so dramatic. He asked, do you think with the recent trouble Apple has had with Apple Music, iTunes Match, iCloud Music Library, and a recent post from The Loop on why Jim Dalrymple is leaving Apple Music will hurt the Just Works slogan? What do you think, Leander?
I think you've got to be a sucker to believe the Just Works stuff. And that's been true for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's any worse, you know. Like, I just had a great experience yesterday with a time machine, a time capsule. Because I've been staying at my mom's house, right? She's complaining about her internet, so I went and bought her a new time capsule. And you plug it in, and you go to the machine, and it detects that there's a new time capsule that needs to be set up. So you click on that, and it says, "Do you want to? Are you going to replace this new one with the old one?" You say, yeah, and it does it. It just like transfers everything across. And I was like, oh my God, that is totally amazing. I'd never seen that before. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, when it does work like that, it's fantastic. I agree. And I feel like in most instances, at least in my experience, Apple software does work like that. But I wonder, maybe this is too dramatic of a comparison. Is Apple Music turning into the next Apple Maps?
Or Mobile Me.
Or Mobile Me?
Yeah.
What do you think, Buster?
I feel like it just isn't like a cohesive product. It feels very fractured sometimes. You know, you have radio, you have Connect, and then you have the suggested tab, and they don't really blend together well. And then also, like Dalrymple was saying, all the iTunes Match, iCloud Music Library, that's kind of a little confusing, and it really sucks. Which I was surprised that The Loop had such
a... Yeah, I was too.
Because I don't think he's ever said anything mean about Apple in his life.
Yeah, I can't recall him ever saying anything critical of Apple.
Yeah.
And so that was really surprising. So I kind of agree and disagree. So I think that Apple Music has had a lot of problems. I haven't really been using the music management part of it, so I haven't dumped in all my music and had it all upload to the cloud, because I've already been using Google Play Music. And I'm happy with it, so why go through all the hassle? I do use the streaming part and the Beats Radio part of Apple Music, which I really like, even though there are definitely bugs. To Jim's question, Jim Fantasia's question about will it hurt Apple's Just Work slogan, honestly, I don't think so, because, again, I think guys like us know who Jim Dalrymple is. Guys like us care about what he has to say. Yeah. The general public doesn't know who Jim Dalrymple is and doesn't care. And they may not even use all the parts of Apple Music, and they may not even have a music library. I think people are moving away from music libraries and have been for a long time. So if that's the part that has been working the worst, odds are that's also the part that people are using the least. And so as long as Apple nails the streaming part and the Beats Music Radio part, I think they're going to be okay, because that's going to be the part that people end up using, and not these other like lesser used parts. So yes, it's buggy. Absolutely. Is it going to hurt Apple? I don't think so. And with a similar question, I've kind of wondered this before myself. Machiel Van Dorst, asks, iTunes is a mess. Apple Music is buggy. Photos doesn't do this, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone has a million complaints. Is Apple software worse now, or are we all just entitled complainers? Leander, what do you think?
Well, yeah, you know, I definitely hear the entitled complainer stuff.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's, I don't think it's any better or any worse than it ever has been. It's always been a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, music is obviously really a very, very complicated service. It's a, you know, it's a media service. It's not just like a piece of software. Mm-hmm. There are so many moving parts, and I mean, you know, even running, I know how complicated it is even just to run a website. Mm-hmm. You know, from people from the outside, you know, that they can, you know, I get a lot of entitlement from people who complain. But the complaint is super important because they point things out to you that you really should be aware of. Mm-hmm. And they're actually really doing you a favor. Mm-hmm. And so I always thank people, like, if they complain about stuff, I say thanks, you know, because, you know, you're right. And it's brought it to my attention and we'll try to fix it.
Thank you, internet reader. I am a terrible person. I should burn in hell. You're right. I'm going to handle this feature for you, too.
I'm going to go out and get cancer like you suggested.
And I also hope that one of my relatives dies.
Right. I know. I'm sorry, but you're right. Thanks for doing that.
Thanks for doing that. Please come again.
It's funny though, because actually, you know, I do that. I always take this, like, at the root of they are, I adopt this really sarcastic, overly polite tone. And it's just a way of keeping you sane. But it's a great way to respond to people. And it's funny because often they'll come back and they'll say, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize, you know, that there was actually a human being," or whatever, you know, but because sometimes I'll send it to like webmaster@cultofmag.com.
Yes, right.
And actually it's funny, because then you turn a hater into an advocate, into a friend.
Absolutely. Sometimes, yeah,
by doing that.
I think just by being responsive and letting them know that you actually do care makes a world difference.
Yeah, right. But no, I don't think Apple's any worse. I mean, there was complaints last year, right? Didn't Mark Arment was complaining about what was he complaining about?
I don't know
something
regarding
it's a hugely complex machine, isn't it? I mean that Apple's running, and you know, even just like something like the Mac, if you dig into all the stuff on a Mac, all the system settings, all the things it does, like you said, notification center, I mean, you know, there's a million and one different ways you can use your machine. It's hugely complex and hugely adaptable, and you know, we only all of us only just scratch the surface of it. I think it's kind of a miraculous thing. I mean, you know, like a lot of it works really great.
While I do agree with you, and I really love your optimism here, I will say Apple does have their hands into a lot of pots now. Yeah. And they seem to be having trouble. Well, actually, this is a better analogy. They're spinning a lot of plates right now, and they seem to be having troubles keeping all the plates spinning. And you would think that with their $200 billion cash reserve, they would be able to hire the additional talent that they need, but it seems to be like the talent maybe it just isn't available. They aren't able to get as many talented people as they need. And so they seem like they're struggling to really put out superbly polished products, the superbly polished products that we know and love. But then again, I also think all V1 products, even from Apple, are always buggy. And by version 2, version 3, we're not even going to remember how bad version 1 was. And they'll probably do a price drop, and we'll all be happy because we'll be getting something that has even more features than it did before for you know, 2/3 of the price, and we'll all be high-fiving and sending Tim Cook our "we love you" emails. You guys do those too, right?
Not for a while.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, last question before we jump into what we're into. Jake Weber asks an easy question. He says, "It's almost time for iPhone 6S. What do you think it's going to be? What do you think is going to be its biggest selling point?" Well, that's easy. It's going to be the S. Next question. Buster, I have a feeling I know what you're going to say. What's the biggest selling point of iPhone 6S?
S for Sapphire.
You think it's going to be S for Sapphire?
I don't know. You can make that argument if they do the Sapphire display. The camera. I'm going to guess the camera.
Guess the camera. Leander?
Sausage.
It comes with a free Apple sausage, which will be the most magical, revolutionary sausage you've ever eaten.
It's because it's as fat as a sausage. they beefed it up. The back, you can't bend it anymore.
Oh, so you think they're going to call it the sausage? I see. You've had a lot of good, really, really good marketing ideas on past shows. This isn't one of your better ones.
Isn't it going to be the camera? Doesn't it have an amazing DSL-like camera?
It's going to be the camera.
Rumor, yeah.
It's always the camera. That's always been the marquee feature, isn't it?
I feel like, yeah.
Because what else could they possibly do that's going to be, I mean, unless they come up with something totally new.
Well, they'll it'll have a faster processor, more RAM, and but
Force touch.
Oh yeah, Force touch.
It will have Force touch. Yeah.
Although I don't know if that's a selling point. I still can't get used to it.
I feel like a lot of the third party apps on Apple Watch never use Force touch. It's just Apple's apps that do it.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. At least for now. Mm-hmm. And on the Apple Watch, I find it to be rather intuitive. Leander, would you not agree?
No. Completely.
You just forget that it's there, huh?
I do, and I'm always fiddling around, and I'm like, oh my goodness, how does this, oh, okay, yeah, Force touch, and then I try to do it, and then it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's not as smooth as it should be on my device either.
No, I haven't got the, it does work, I think it's just a question of getting the right, you've got to get the action down right.
It's not an obvious paradigm either. So I would guess that a lot of people forget that it's there, mm-hmm. because there's no indication that it's there, unless right. you just happen to know. Or do it on an accident. Oh my gosh, imagine if you did it on an accident. You'd be like, what the heck did I do? You'd be so confused. And if some grandma was out there and she presses too hard on her trackpad or something, then all of a sudden the screen changes or something, goes into expose.
I think that's actually sort of the genius of it, because that's exactly what people do, isn't it, on touchscreens. When they can't get touchscreens to work, they start jabbing at it really hard. and they go, oh, okay, there you go.
Happened.
Right, and it brings up some way to fix your problem.
Actually, you might be right. It's like when something's broken, people are like, well, just hit it really hard.
Right.
They start working.
Really stabbing at it with their fingers, right? And then they go, oh, okay, there you go. There's the setting.
Perfect. I'm an IT genius.
Oh, thanks, Johnny Ive.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be the camera. It'll be interesting to see what it will actually be. But historically speaking, that tends to be the biggest feature. Thank you for your questions, everyone, one and all. We always love seeing your questions on there. And I know that we got a lot of questions that we weren't able to talk about on the show. But thank you to everyone who contributed. Let's move into the last segment of the show. What we're into, this segment where we can talk about literally anything that we want, as long as we're into it. Maybe I'll go first. I always ask you guys if you want to go first, and I feel like that's unfair. So I'll go first this time, and then whoever wants to go next can. So there's been some news this week about Twitch. Have you guys heard about Twitch?
Yeah.
Twitch is I think they're formerly Justin TV. They used to be like a video streaming service, and they morphed into a video game streaming service that Amazon then purchased for $1 billion.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, guys, this is the future of television. I love Twitch, and it's just at the very beginning. It's in its infancy right now, but it is. I have it on my Xbox One, and I love just booting up video games and watching people play video games.
Yeah, I know.
It's unbelievable. It's like, how lazy have we become? It's like, I don't even want to play the game anymore. I just want to watch some guy I don't know play the game. But as you age, you tend to have less time to have sleepovers at your friend's house and play video games together, right? And so you don't get to watch other people play video games. And that's what's so amazing about Twitch is virtually any game that you can imagine is on there, and you can just sit there and watch somebody play it, and they make commentary, and you get to know these people. And I like to watch some of the lesser popular video games, but there's some big ones like League of Legends. League of Legends is such a massive franchise. I don't think people who aren't into video games even know. It's huge, and they have esports competitions play on Twitch a lot now, where you can watch people play Street Fighter and stuff.
Yeah.
And those are getting really big, and League of Legends is one of the biggest ones. And there are 70,000-80,000 people watching these tournaments live.
Wow.
And then they replay them later. Who knows how many people watch them? It's turning into a massive thing. Twitch is available on your iPhone. It's available online and also on your Xbox. They probably have it on PlayStation as well. Definitely one of the things I'm into these days. I can't get enough of it. I watched some guy with a long ponytail play Mortal Kombat for an hour and a half the other day. He's probably broadcasting from his mother's basement, and I love it. Love it. Who's next? Well, Leander.
Well, I was going to say, I know, funny guy, I know exactly what you're talking about, because when I was at college, I used to watch my buddies play, Sega Genesis the Hedgehog game.
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog, huh?
Sonic the Hedgehog, right. Uh-huh. So, and the Mario games.
Oh, yeah,
But of course, it was college, right? So,
yeah.
I was sitting in a state where I was unable to speak.
A modified state.
Yeah.
A modified state. Because you had just studied so much right. that your brain just shut down and you were like, precisely. I need a break.
So much studying.
Exactly. And you probably had some snacks there
to munch on.
Exactly. Okay.
Exactly. So you hear what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
I remember it being magical because, you know,
I'm sure for you it was quite magical.
But they're so weird, those games, that the environments were so surreal.
Yeah. Oh, you should see them now. You should see them now, Leander. They're unbelievable. I was just replaying a game the other day and I was parts of the game. I was like, this is like a movie. It's like you're watching CGI. It's amazing what they can do now.
And if you've got someone who knows what they're doing, because like, as soon as he handed me the controller, it was like, but done.
Yeah.
And I'd be really frustrated. But then he was so great at it, it was actually a pleasure to see his skill. It was almost like watching, you know, I hate to say it, but a pianist. Somebody who was, you know, somebody who was very, very talented.
Truly. And that's what it's like watching someone play League of Legends, too. Because this is a strategy-based game, so there's actually not a lot to see unless you understand the gameplay. But these guys who play are incredibly skilled at what they do. I actually heard that in Japan they have League of Legends schools where the guys just go and they're going to become professional League of Legends players.
Well, they're filling stadiums now in Korea, aren't they? In South Korea,
They're filling stadiums here. There's an event here called PAX Prime in Seattle. It's one of the mm-hmm. biggest video game conventions in the world. Mm-hmm. And I've gone for like the last 5 years. In the last two or three, one of the prime events C at PAX is the League of Legends tournament, and they fill up a massive room with, I don't know, 15,000-20,000 people, and they watch people play League of Legends, and it's huge and it's packed. I mean, it's like unbelievable how popular it is now.
Yeah,
like turning into the NFL. Okay, who wants to go next? Buster, what do you got?
Sure, I got a movie. Booyah. I don't know if you heard of it, but it's called Ant-Man, and
I liked it, huh?
I really liked it, man. And I didn't think I was going to like Ant-Man. I thought when I saw, you know, that they were making Ant-Man, I thought, yeah, this is the sign that Marvel's just jumped the shark.
This is exactly what I thought.
They've overdone themselves, and this is just going to be beyond stupid. And then I saw it, and it was actually really freaking good. It was like a, I don't know, kind of like an anti-Iron Man movie. It was just funny, but only not like, you know, to the point where it was just one big joke. It was actually incredibly good, and Paul Rudd actually made a convincing superhero, which I didn't think was possible.
Well, I heard the thing that made it endearing is that they acknowledged pretty often that this what really was kind of a stupid character. Would you agree with that?
Oh, totally, yeah.
Okay.
Like, they poke fun of it. Like the last major fight scene, it occurs like in his little like a
no spoilers, kid. No spoilers, no spoilers.
But well, it's not spoiling it. Okay. It's just like, you know, it's on a train set. Like you see it in the preview, that big like battle that they have and stuff. And it's just, I don't know, it's silly, but it's also, I don't know, really, I thought really well written. Who's the guy? I think it's Michael Pena or something like that.
Was the writer?
No, he's the actor,
The actor. He always plays like the Hispanic guy, but he plays such a good... he plays like the typical Mexican, like typical Mexican in all of like a lot of his movies.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. Michael Pena. Yeah, that's his name.
Michael Pena. I'll look him up.
Yeah. He was hilarious in it. Probably better than Paul Rudd. But yeah, I mean, if you wrote Ant-Man off, I would totally go see it. I recommend it. It was probably better than the Avengers too.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I was on the fence about that movie. I may actually go see it now that you actually liked it. Because I know if you didn't, you would destroy it.
Yeah, do it. It was great.
Okay. Leander, you actually might have a product, huh?
I was going to mention, when you were talking about the movie, I was like, what have I been watching on TV? And I was like, oh, yeah, there's that show. I was quite into that. So I was going to mention these earphones that I've been using, these Grain Audio earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like $99. They're made out of walnut. So they're wood. Huh? Yeah, and they're really good. They're really, really good at earphones, in-ear earphones.
Are they better than Beats? Because that's my bar.
The Beats one with some headphones, and I was just checking them out at the Apple Store, and you know, I like the Beats. I like that bass heavy, muddy sound that you get out of a pair of Beats. You know, it kind of wakes you up. It thumps, right? So you know, it feels your whole head moves. I like it.
So I'm looking at the Green Audio website here. And I'll be honest, this looks like a little bit of a gimmick. It's like, hey, are you tired of earbuds made out of plastic? Ours are made of wood. Do you feel like it's a gimmick, or is the wood just like a nice design feature, and then they also sound good?
Well, to be honest, like with the earphones, a little bit of a gimmick.
What the heck is that?
What happened there? What is that?
What is that?
Was that from you?
No.
Oh, my goodness. It's like a poltergeist.
That was terrifying. What was that?
I don't know. That was me.
Were you watching a video?
It was just some people screaming about Harry Reid's shoes or something. I had to hear it.
It sounded like Satan himself took over the Skype call and was giving us a line directly to hell.
Sorry, I didn't know it was going to play on the call. That was great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was terrifying. Okay, Leander, now that we know that wasn't the Dark Lord himself, please continue.
Well, so I listened to their passive bookshelf speakers,
which are
also made out of solid walnut, and these are $800 speakers, two big speakers that go on your bookshelf.
Gosh. Okay.
But they were astonishing. They were really, really good. We had a demo here in the office, and they put them head-to-head with a pair of bookshelf speakers that I thought were really good. That my brother who's a musician and is a bit of a sort of like an audiophile, mm-hmm. he thought the speakers we had in here were great. And then we put them head-to-head with these ones, and it just blew them out of the water. In fact, they sound tinny and horrible, and I haven't listened to them since because just, you know, it's so offensive.
You're an elitist in training. I like it.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, and the wood, you know, for speakers, I think is definitely true. It's a great material for speakers, but for earbuds, I don't know. Yeah, I think you're right. I'm a bit skeptical that it actually makes that much difference.
I remember when they actually used to make things out of wood, speakers, chairs. Yeah. It's like, it's a lost art form, is it? Now it's like a premium material. It's like, oh, you want speakers made out of wood? You want a guitar made out of wood? That's amazing.
Well, yeah, because I think, you know, it went IKEA, didn't it? So they were using manufactured wood for a lot of things.
Yeah, and you get a lot of that out of kind solid of like wood weird these stuff.
Is hard.
Yeah, it's super rarer. Rare. Oh my gosh, my heart's still beating fast from Buster's poltergeist interception.
You know what's really good too is their Bluetooth speaker.
Uh-huh. What's it called?
The PWS, the portable Bluetooth speaker. That is great. That's really good.
249?
Yeah, that's a great Bluetooth speaker, but it's expensive. I mean, it is.
You know what? This thing looks good too. I like the gray against the wood.
Yeah, it's nicely made and it sounds great. It really is a really good sounding speaker.
Well, we'll link to these guys in the show notes as well, in case you guys want to check them out. They hooked you up with all sorts of products, didn't they? Didn't they, Leander?
Well, they sent the Bluetooth speaker, which me and Jim battled over. We kept on stealing it from each other.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake of leaving it out one day, and it's gone.
He just nicked it.
Yeah,
classic.
In fact, I mentioned it. I need to get that back. but I nicked the earphones. So,
such is the life of Leander Caney, everyone. Hey, Leander, you want this $800? Would you mind taking this $800 speaker? I'll see. I'll let you know.
Well, I wanted the speakers, but they wouldn't leave those behind. We got a test, but we didn't get to.
You should have just chugged one of your Stella Artois and just taken the speaker from the guy. Come on, Leander, what's happening with you? You're going soft. Would you rather leave here with your speakers or your front teeth? That's the question you need to ask him. that's an easy decision. It's like, I'm just going to back away slowly, Mr. Lacaney. Have a good day. Alrighty, guys. Well, that's what we're into. Hopefully you guys got some picks, some things you need to check out. And with that, let's go ahead and wrap it up there, Leander. What do you say?
Okay.
Okay,
time for some lunch.
Okay, yeah, it's lunchtime. Alright, that's all the podcasts we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, that would be so lovely. I'm at Arifon, Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. Make sure you're following at Cult of Mac for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I would just like to thank everyone for listening. I love you guys, and I just can't wait to see you next time.
Were you pointing for something there? Was that...
quote? Was that
a quote?
No, it's quoting myself.
Well, it sounds like it was a quote from a movie or something, or a TV show.
Maybe. I oftentimes will just steal stuff and just make it my own. What up? There he is. My little mountain man.
My little mountain man.
Back from the mountains of Colorado.
Ah, yes.
Did you do anything cool?
Just drove around. Hiked a lot.
Hiked a lot? Are you going to move there now?
I totally wouldn't mind. It's
beautiful. Dude, it's incredible, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I've only been there once. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, that was my first time.
Lots of sunshine, but it's not like 120 degrees.
Oh, yeah, it was like 72. And then at night, like it was perfect. Freezing, you know?
The only thing would be is like, what would you do with your massive thong collection?
Oh, I would just never get to wear them, or I would just have to join the polar bear club.
Because you have a massive, massive thong collection.
I got about 75 to 90.
Well, yeah, they're so small, it's hard to keep track. You just have to pack them all into a shoebox, never to be...
I just got a whole dresser drawer full of them. I just go diving into it every morning.
And just when you come out, whichever one's on is the one you wear that day?
Yep.
Dang, you're operating at such a high level.
Dude, I mean, they just feel so damn good.
If you have a whole dresser drawer full of them, though, I think that's more than 75. That's probably like over 1,000. Because I've seen how small they are.
Well, they get really dirty. They're flossing your butt. So
that's true.
I just try not to reuse them that often.
But I heard your hygiene is just impeccable. Although I guess if you're wearing them hiking, that becomes a questionable scenario for the man floss.
A lot of weird stuff up there.
Twigs. Squirrel fur.
Yeah.
Was it just you and your friends?
Yeah, I had a friend who was doing like a race up there.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah, I tagged along.
So he's just running through the mountains?
Yeah, and then the other days we just drive through the mountains in his Jeep and go on a bunch of ridiculous trails and stuff.
Was that the mountain man that I saw?
Mm-hmm.
He had a big old beard?
Yeah,
always. So you have like mountain men friends?
Oh, yeah.
Buster and the Mountain Man, that's like a sweet-ass band.
I like it.
I think I need to change my intro on the fly here.